The topic of denominationalism is obviously a very wide topic, many different doctrines, and so I have had to be selective as to the various topics that our time will allow that might be useful to us. The one we're studying tonight, faith, works, and grace, both lesson 12 and lesson 13, is a topic that if we're going to be equipped to talk to our denominational friends, it's an area that we need to be informed about. And certainly, as we prayed with Craig, there's so much error that is taught, not only believed, but taught almost universally in denominationalism on this topic, that for our own stability spiritually, we need to understand the truth about it. So we've selected this as one of our topics of study, and hopefully it'll be a benefit to us. It's certainly not new to maybe everyone, at least most everyone in this class. But if you're like me, it does me good to review and to go back and restudy and to reestablish what I think I have learned and know. And hopefully it'll be a benefit to you in that regard as well. At the top of your lesson, you see we have some quotes reflecting denominational teaching. And these are merely representative. You could multiply them. But you'll note that first quote that we have at the top of your page is from the Methodist Discipline. So this is supposed to be their creed of faith. And you'll see that this one says that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. So without question, the Methodist Creed says that Methodists should believe and subscribe to salvation by faith only. Now, in this book that I took this from, it's a pretty good sized book, it says that, it talks about the works that he's talking about, and he says he means works by which we assume to merit salvation or compensate God for a favor he bestows. We'll see in just a moment, if you define works that way, I agree that salvation is by faith alone. The problem is, when they use the word works, they include things that do not fit that description, like baptism. Baptism is not something we do that would merit salvation or compensate God for His grace. That's the mistake. But we'll see in just a moment, the Bible does use the word works that way, and works in that sense are no part of our salvation. There's a quote from the same book by Mr. Wheeler. The statement that a man is justified when he believes himself justified has been called the peculiar symbol of Lutheranism. Then in a quote by a book that representative of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll see in this next paragraph, it says, we reject as unscriptural the following teachings. That man is indeed justified by faith, yet not because faith trusts in the merit of Christ, but because it is a willing obedience to His Word. Now, we reject the idea that faith is something that expresses a willing obedience to His Word. Who believes this? Note, I put in brackets, he's talking about groups that believe this. You'll see it says Campbellites. That's what they would describe you to be. Now, you don't look at yourself as a Campbellite, and we're not Campbellites, but that's how they would describe us, because they think Alexander Campbell is the one who is responsible for this teaching about baptism and other doctrines that people came to understand when they came out of denominationalism. Once again, that man is justified through the act of faith, and that his salvation rests upon his good works. And so that's unscriptural, he says. That his salvation rests upon his good works, and charges us with believing that, as if we think works in some way merit salvation. I don't teach that. I don't believe that. And so sometimes people have a mistaken view of what you believe, and certainly what the Bible teaches. The last quote that I have is from What Baptists Believe and Why They Believe It by J.G. Bow, however he pronounces his name, a Baptist preacher. We believe we are justified by faith in Christ, not by baptism. If I was writing the statement, I might say, we believe we are justified by faith in Christ, including baptism. That faith that justifies includes baptism. Got to be careful when you represent Baptist. Don't say Baptists do not believe baptism is important. They do. Or that baptism is not commanded. They do believe it's commanded, but not to be saved. They believe it's commanded and you ought to obey the commands of Christ. And it's essential to be a part of the Baptist church, but not to be saved. And they've had debates on that issue. And sometimes Christians do not understand what Baptists believe about that. I know that for a fact because I was discussing it with a Christian not very long ago, just in the recent past, that did not understand that. So this is a critical issue. A difference between what the Bible teaches and what denominationalism teaches. Generally, am I saying that every denomination rejects baptism for their remission of sins? No. Roman Catholics teach baptism for their remission of sins. Mormons, I believe, teach baptism for their remission of sins. But there's so many other peripheral problems with what they teach about baptism, like Catholics will baptize babies. And the Mormons, what they teach about Jesus is so foreign to the New Testament. You can baptize a fellow 1,000 times, it won't be the baptism of the New Testament. They're not the proper candidates. But what we're focusing on right here in this lesson is one thing, not the candidate, not the element, water versus the Holy Spirit, that's another study. Not the mode, sprinkling, pouring, immersion, that's another lesson down the road. But the purpose. What's the purpose of baptism? Is it in order to enter into a saving relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Did I hear somebody say something? Yes, sir.
Of course, they're all following repentance and confession also. So they're all following more than just...
Yeah, there's a number of issues. That's true. Okay, so you'll see under the heading Justification by Faith in Baptism that men are justified by faith. Anyone acquainted with the Bible must admit. We believe that. I believe that. I don't want to speak for you. I believe that, but I believe you believe that as well. Don't be ashamed of saying, yes, men are justified by faith. The Bible teaches that very clearly. But where does baptism fit in? That's the question. And so you see we have, does justified by faith include or exclude baptism? The religious world is told that to make baptism necessary to justification is to nullify Paul's teaching of justification without works because baptism is a work. And that's why of all the religious differences with denominationalism that you might discuss. See, I'm going to talk to my denominational friends about the first day of the week partaking of the Lord's Supper. Go ahead, but that's not where I'd start. That's not why they're so against what we teach. It's because in their view, what we teach nullifies salvation by grace. So that's at the very heart of the gospel. Because they believe we're teaching a works salvation. Something you do, must do to merit God's grace. So let's look at Romans, the book of Romans. You'll note the next section on the lesson. Now, we have a question. Question one that goes with this. So we'll look at that after we look at the part here on the front page. Paul does teach justification by faith alone, in a sense. But the question is, in what sense? And where does baptism fit in that? Justification by faith alone. So look at Romans 1, 16, 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God, that is God's plan for making man righteous, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. Any word about baptism in that verse?
Well, righteousness living by faith is a man who's going to follow everything that God said to do in order to receive salvation. He's not just going to receive one.
That's not my question.
Okay.
Is baptism mentioned in that verse?
No.
Does that prove baptism is not essential?
No.
Is repentance mentioned in that verse?
No.
But I don't know of any denominationalist who would argue that repentance is not essential. Now, who's the writer? Paul. Shouldn't what he wrote be interpreted in the light of his own experience? When he became a believer, what did he do? For 3 days, what did he do? Fasted and prayed. Now, why would he be fasting if he's been saved? What was fasting to the Jews? Sign of mourning and sorrow, right? But I thought he was a believer. How do you know he was a believer?
But he said, what do I need to do?
What do I need to do, Lord? And the Lord told him what to do, and he went and did it. Go to Damascus if he told you what you must do. When he got there, 3 days later, a guy came to him. What did he tell him to do? Arise, or get up, put on your version, and be baptized, and do what?
Wash
away your sins. Now, if I don't know anything else about Romans, I know who the writer is, I know what his experience is, I know what he did. Shouldn't that raise a flag of caution of interpreting this verse to mean you don't have to be baptized to wash away your sins? So anyway, this verse doesn't mention baptism, but that doesn't mean it doesn't include baptism. So this is the verse, and now let's go to chapter 4. This is the classic passage. You talk to somebody about the necessity of baptism, it may be they'll go back and talk to their preacher. Very possibly, this is the verse that their preacher will take them to. Chapter 4, verse 4. So before, let's say you're in a denomination and you've been talking to one of these Campbellites and he says you need to be baptized to be saved, and you come to me and I'm the denominational preacher And so I might ask you, is baptism something you do? What would be your answer? Yes. Define work for me. What does the word work mean? What?
An action.
Something you do. Okay. Then look at this verse 4. To the one who works. Oh, that's baptism, isn't it? That includes baptism. His wage is not credited as a favor or grace, but as what is due. To the one who does not work, that Campbellite is telling you, you have to work. But this verse says, if you do not work, but believe in Him who justifies the ungodly, His faith is credited as righteousness. Stay away from those Campbellites, because they're nullifying the grace of God. That may be what your denominational friend will hear or face. Now, in this verse, does Paul argue that justification is by faith apart from works? No? That's what I read. He said, to the one who works, to the one who does not work, that's what it looks like to me. I'm going to ask you again, is Paul arguing that in this verse, justification is by faith apart from works?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Just read the text. In other words, faith alone. It's not a faith plus works in this verse. Not that. It's faith apart from works, without works. The works that's in this text, if you do them and you're successful, what is the nature of your righteousness, verse 4, the end of the verse? It's due. You earned it. That's the kind of works he's talking about. You earned it. It's not a matter of grace. He's talking about that kind of works. So, it's clear that there's a contrast in this text between works, whatever he means by it, and faith. So, faith apart from works. This is a faith that acknowledges one's ungodliness and needs forgiveness. The works in the text are works that say, I do not need forgiveness through a Messiah who died on the cross. If you're a Jew, I'm a Jew. I have a lineage. Or I kept the law. I'm good enough. That's exactly the concept of the moral world today. Why do I need to go to church? I'm a pretty good guy. I support my family. I pay my taxes. I don't kill anybody. And if you can be right that way, that's this verse. Paul says nobody's right that way. And so, now go to chapter 9. Yes, sir.
Another way to look at this is the contrast. One side you got faith alone, the other side you got works alone, excluding faith.
That's what it is. That's what we see right here. So Rocky's comment is borne up by chapter 9. Hold your finger at 4. We're coming back. But go to chapter 9. So Rocky made a good observation. It's either faith alone or works alone. That is, works apart from the kind of faith he's talking about. Now, these people believed in God, but the faith he's talking about is what kind of faith? Throughout the book of Romans.
Obedience.
It's true. Faith in what?
The gospel.
What?
The faith in the gospel versus the faith.
The gospel of the crucified Messiah. The gospel that his death that takes your sins away. Not faith in that there's a God. That's not it. Faith and the fact that He died so you can be saved. Now go to Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness. Righteousness here is obviously a state of being right with God. Even the righteousness which is by faith. How did they get into that state of being right with God? By faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Here's the answer. Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. Did they believe in God? Yes. Did they believe in the gospel of God's Son? No. They did not pursue it by faith, but, note the not but, the emphasis was, we're Jews, we're good enough, we don't need a, we're not interested in a, remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, how did the Jews look upon the cross? What was it he said? No, that's a Gentile. Stumbling block. Stumbling block. The Gentiles said it was foolish, a bunch of foolishness. It's the gospel of a crucified Messiah. And so he said, they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Remember we said it's faith in Christ. Just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. He who believes in Him will not be disappointed. So clearly the kind of works here are works not mingled with faith, not growing out of faith, not an obedient faith like you were talking about when you were correct. Those of you in the class were talking about that. That's not it. These works are works that say, I don't need Jesus. I don't need the gospel. Paul defined what he meant. Go back to Romans 4. Now your question on your sheet, see a question 1. Answer this argument. Romans 4, 4 and 5 says, God says the one who does not work saves the one who does not work, and that to be saved by works is not to be saved by grace. That's what the text says. Baptism is something we do and therefore is a work of man. To make baptism essential to salvation nullifies salvation by grace. That is the denominational argument. That's it. So when you look at Romans 4, that's why we looked at the text. The works he's describing are not works growing out of faith, but works in contrast to faith. Don't need faith, in other words. And if you were to keep reading, you'll see, let's start in verse 3. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. And so down in verse 6, talks about how David is righteous. His sins have been forgiven. Verse 9, is this blessing, that is this forgiveness that he talks about in verse 7? Then on the circumcised of the uncircumcised also, for we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. Neither Abraham nor David, nor Noah, nor Adam, nor Daniel, nor Joshua, nor any other man ever was righteous by works alone. None. Their sins are forgiven. But does that require that they do something? Look down at verse 12. You walk in the steps or follow the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. You know about his faith and how obedient it was. And so, this is an important passage to be familiar with, how Paul uses the word works in the book of Romans. And how he uses the word faith in a comprehensive sense That is to include whatever faith demands for salvation. Some of you have been talking about an obedient faith. Aren't you putting words in Paul's mouth? Suppose I'm a denomination and I say, that just sounds like Campbellism to me. Obedient faith. Where are you getting that anywhere in the book of Romans?
Chapter 1.
And chapter 16. Beginning of the book, end of the book. And so, if you got that down, great to hear the class remembers that. So you get over here in chapter 1. In verse 5, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. Now, did you write in chapter 4 that we're not to do anything? And yet you say your apostleship is to cause people to do something? Isn't that what obedience is? Isn't that clear that works of Romans 4 is not talking about obedience that grows out of faith? And then he writes the whole book and he gets to the end of the book, chapter 16. You have to wonder about the wisdom of the Holy Spirit guiding Paul's pen, looking down through the centuries. If this is why it's written that way, I do not know. But you get to the last chapter, verse 26. He said, talking about the gospel that he's preaching, and he said it's been made known or manifested and made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. There is no way to go to chapter 4 and use the word works to talk about obedience growing out of faith if you let the book interpret itself. So here's on your front page or your sheet. So we've answered question number 2 already. But there's a middle part of your lesson there. What's usually called a syllogism. We don't like that word, but anyway, it's a way of reasoning. First, what we're looking at is the reasoning that men do. Man is justified by faith only, therefore baptism is excluded. That's the way your denominational friends are taught to think. But there's a missing premise. So many times when people state what they believe or what they've been taught, there's a premise and a conclusion, but the missing premise is not stated. And it's helpful, at least to me, may not be to you, to look for that missing premise. Yes, sir?
Steve, also in the Romans 1, 16 verse we looked at, Paul uses that the righteous shall live by faith, and the Holy Spirit gives us an interpretation of that in Hebrews. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, he uses that same scripture to talk about the obedience that people have in faith, the people that live by God's faith. And he gives an example.
Hebrews, as Craig said, is a good passage to go to show examples of an obedient faith that gains favor with God. And we're going to have some, I think it's my next lesson, some verses from that very book. Craig, good observation. So look at our points here. Man is justified by faith only. The conclusion, therefore, baptism is not a requirement for justification. But what is assumed and unproven is the middle premise. Baptism is not included in justification by faith. That hasn't been proven. But that's what's assumed. And so we have on your lesson at the bottom of the page, is baptism a work apart from faith or something someone does because of faith in the gospel? We're not going to quote Mr. Campbell or Mr. Martin W. Stone or any gospel preacher today. We just say, well, let's find out. So we open our Bibles to Matthew 28:19, and Jesus giving what we call the Great Commission. And there, he's telling his apostles to baptize people verse 19. Question. What kind of people?
Believers.
Make what?
Disciples
of all the nations. Disciples of who? Huh? I didn't hear you. No, I want to. Okay. That's what I want. Thank you for reading my mind. Disciples of Christ. In other words, these are people of faith you baptize. That's the idea. So, based on Matthew 28:19, is baptism an act of faith or apart from faith? It's clearly an act of faith. You know Mark 16:16. You don't even have to turn there. Who were they to baptize? Mark 16:16. What?
Those who believe.
Believe, that's right. He who has believed and has been baptized. Believers. Believe what? Verse 15. That's true. What does verse 15 say? Mark 16:15. Maybe we need to do a class of memory work. Preach the gospel to the whole creation. What gospel?
Gospel of Jesus
Christ. That's right. Mark begins his letter, chapter 1, verse 1. How does he begin it?
The
beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach that gospel. He who believes that gospel and is baptized should be saved. Baptism there for believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Okay, so here's a passage. Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Correct?
No.
Why isn't it correct? Okay, I left part out. What did I leave out? In the name of Jesus Christ. Baptism won't do any good if it's not in the name of Christ. And so that's what you have. Be baptized in the name. Oh, that's what the preacher says, right? No, preacher doesn't say anything. And a preacher saying it doesn't mean that's what happens. By the authority in connection with your faith in Him. That's what Peter just preached about. Look at verse 36. What did he tell them they had to know? Jesus is Lord in Christ. Be baptized in the name of Christ based on your faith in that. That isn't an act of faith. That's not the kind of works Paul's talking about in Romans 4. See? So, see, we're answering the question, is baptism work apart from faith or because of faith? Romans 4 talks about works apart from faith. So, and you can just keep going through these. Those who received His word, verse 41, were being baptized. 3,000 were baptized that day. His word, what word? What word?
Word of Christ.
Word about Christ that He just preached. Right. And so Acts 8, you have Philip going to Samaria, same thing. Every one of these verses. In Acts 8, 36 and 37. Two guys riding along the road. They're reading the Bible together. One's teaching the other. Guy says, "Hey, I want to be baptized." What's the question? If you... What? I didn't hear you. That's right. If believest thou mayest, you're still in King James land. Okay. If you believe, you got to believe. Then Philip didn't just say, yeah, I'll baptize you. This is an act of faith. It's just passage after passage that shows this. Okay. Let's go to Acts 16. That's one of our questions. Question number 4. Our question number 4. Someone quotes Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. They say, you believe that verse? Yes. Amen. Don't hedge. Don't say, well, you take that verse, I'm going to take Acts 2:38. No, I believe that verse. That's great news. Well, how would you answer it then? What?
We misapply what it did. It wasn't just faith. It was intuitive faith.
How do you know?
Read the next couple of verses.
Don't answer it this way. Well, I'm going to go read Acts 2:38 and not even answer what he said. Now, you can use Acts 2:38 to appeal to the law of harmony. But let's deal with the text. And y'all have done that. Okay, so you have verse 32. Before the fellow could do what he told him in verse 31, what had to happen?
Spoke the word of the Lord,
because faith comes how?
By hearing.
That's right. And so then he took them that very hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he was baptized, and he rejoiced. Why? Verse 34. What does it say in the text?
Having believed.
Let Luke interpret what he meant. Having believed when he was baptized, he now had an obedient faith. So faith, or believe in this verse, is used a part for the whole. Ever heard that before? We all have. Say your ABCs. ABC, what is that? Part for the whole. Give me an alphabet. Add in the paper. I need a hired hand. What does he mean?
Whole body.
Person. Right. And faith is used to include whatever faith demands for salvation. So we have Acts 16, Acts 18, Acts 19, etc. Now, we've already talked about Romans 1:6 and 16:26. Look at question number 3 on your lesson. Can you believe this? We're going to finish the whole lesson 12. Man. Look at question number 3. Are you saved by grace?
Yes.
Yes. Beside Romans 4, what's another classic verse on salvation by grace? Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace you save through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, works. But what kind of works is that in verse 9? You can boast. You don't boast and you come to God and say, boy, I'm a sinner, I need your forgiveness. Is that boasting? When could you boast about your works? What?
When you earn it?
Yeah, when you don't have any sin. I don't need Christ. I don't need a sin. Somebody die for me. That's the kind of works he's talking about. Okay, but anyway. So, yes, we're saved by grace. And so, look at Romans 5:1-2. Don't ever be ashamed of saying we're saved by grace. And you don't necessarily have to follow it up and baptism. Paul didn't. Look at Romans 5:1-2. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, we exult in hope with the glory of God. Amen. And so Ephesians 2, I just quoted 8 and 9, by grace you're saved through faith. But what's interesting in both of these two verses, you have the Romans here who said they were saved by faith because it gave them entrance into God's grace. The next chapter says they did what? What did they do to these Romans to get into Christ? They baptized. Look at it. He says, verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus? So it's faith in Christ whereby we obtain His grace. Chapter 5, 1, through our Lord Jesus Christ. How did they enter that relationship? These people, at least, were baptized to get into that relationship. The people to whom the letter was written. Ephesians, that's written to the Ephesian Christians. Look at Acts 19. By grace you've been saved, he wrote in a letter to them. What was their history? When Paul got to Ephesus, what did he teach them they needed to do to be saved? Acts 19, 1 through 5. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. They had to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And that passage shows you not any baptism will work. They weren't the proper candidates when they were baptized previously. They had to be taught the truth about Jesus and baptized based on that faith and correct knowledge about Christ. So you can't take Ephesians 2 to the Ephesians and say, oh, baptism had nothing to do with it. They were baptized to get into Christ. The Romans were baptized to get into Christ. So, you know, if we just, and if we could get our denominational friends to put aside their books, I'm not saying don't listen to their preachers at all, but wait a minute. Do what they did in Berea. Examine what they say. Just open your Bible and study for yourself. And this is a critical area that Satan has been successful in blinding the eyes of our denominational friends. Our next class, we'll talk about faith, grace, and works one more time. So I encourage you to be ready for that Sunday morning. Lord willing, we'll get to lesson number 13.